2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 to 15. I'll read verse number 7, and then you read verse number 8, and so on until you finish at verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Verse number 8. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Verse number 10. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Verse 12. For I mean not that other men be eased or relaxed, and ye be burdened. Verse 14. Let's read verse 15 together. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. It's a word of prayer. Father, we commit this hour into your hands, this next 45 minutes or so. Lord, I pray that as thy word is being preached, as thy word is being taught, we pray, Father, for a humbling of our hearts before you, that we will learn to listen to what you have to say. For Father, these words are the words of an eternal God, a God who sits on the throne of heaven, a God who shares with men his will. And Father, I pray that you would use this unworthy servant, Lord, and hide me behind the cross, and whatever that has been said, Lord, will be your words. That thy Holy Spirit will be the teacher, and all of us will draw close to you first, and then to one another by your grace, Lord, that we will grow in Christ, that by this love that people may see that we are your disciples. So Lord, right now, speak to us in a special way, meet our needs, and also help us to give ourselves to you, first of all, as we'll be talking about the heart of giving. Lord, may your name be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Alright, last week we focused on the grace of God, okay, on what God... Oh wait, hang on, I saw a stranger. Sorry, we'll talk to him later. That's Brother Richard. Thank God he's at the back right now. So thank God that he is here. Alright, anyway. So blessing. Sorry. In 2 Corinthians 8. Okay, last week we focused on the grace of God and what it should do in us. Okay, God's grace doing in us. And how we need to depend on his grace for our lives and some of the evidences of that grace. Okay, last week we dealt with that. I pray that God will have dealt with us personally. In this passage today, in 2 Corinthians 8, from 7 to 15, Paul deals primarily with giving financially. Giving financially. And how the Corinthian church at that time needed to learn to give. Alright, so that is the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we want to talk about what does it mean to give? What does it mean to give? The word give means simply to transfer the ownership to. Okay, transfer the ownership to. Let's say I have a book, all right, and if I have a book and I give it to Timothy, the book was mine, I transfer the ownership to Timothy, it becomes his, all right? So that's giving. So every time you give, think on this, you're not just dropping a few coins in, or if you give time and all that, you're transferring the ownership of that particular thing to someone else, okay? Just for our new visitors today, you can look at in our bulletins, we do have kind of like fill in the blanks for you to follow along, alright? And also verses behind to follow along. So, it means a transfer of ownership too. The Corinthian church has abounded in faith, in doctrine, in diligence. Paul wanted them to abound also in this thing called the grace of giving. The grace of giving, right? The reason why giving is a grace is because we are by nature selfish. Human nature is selfish. And we actually need God's grace so that we can transfer the ownership of something we have to someone else. Many times we give when someone gives back to us in return. Many times. Okay? However, it is difficult to give without asking for anything in return. That is how God gives. Did you know that? The Bible says, we're learning in our family, Luke 6:35, God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. God, you know the rain that comes down? The Bible says, you know it comes down on Christians who love God. It comes down also on non-Christians who don't care about God. God gives even to those people who don't really care about Him. God is kind, and we need God's grace in that kind of giving. Now, a simple indicator that we have grown spiritually, take note of this, from carnality to spirituality, can be measured by the degree of one's giving. We are by nature selfish. Spirituality is by nature generous. When we are truly controlled by God's Spirit in our hearts, we will be generous. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, which you can find in your list of verses, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. When you have God's honor in your mind, the first thing you will do is to give to Him first. Because you are putting God first. Okay? To be spiritual is to be selfless. And the Corinthian church was still struggling to achieve this. If you understand anything about the Corinthian church, they were a selfish lot. They were an unloving lot. Alright? For the benefit of some people who's... the Corinthian church, when they had a buffet, right? Yeah, like a buffet, a smorgasbord, then they have a buffet. The rich people will bring a lot of food. But poor people couldn't bring much. So the rich people will think like this. They have this thing called a charity fee. The rich people will think, why should I give food to those people? What I'll do is I'll come earlier, 1 hour earlier, and bring the food there, and the rich people will eat it first before the poor people come. Paul actually had to scold them. How can you treat the poor brethren like this? Don't you know that you're all Christians and Jesus is your Savior? You're supposed to care for one another. And he was actually having to teach the Corinthian church what it means to love one another. Okay? The Corinthian church was still struggling to achieve true spirituality, and it was evidenced by their sluggish giving. The Corinthian church was not a giving church. It was not a giving church. Okay? We switch the focus to ourselves today. The Lord may be speaking to us about our spirituality today. To be spiritual is to be generous. To be spiritual is to be selfless. Generosity and selflessness, always think of the other person. And to give, we need always to think of the other person. What the other person needs, more than what we need. The genuine essence of giving always considers the other person. For us in Singapore, generally, okay, I'm not saying all, money may not be the item that God wants us to give only. Generally, in Singapore, we have what we need. In fact, sometimes you have more than what we need. How many of you have in your storeroom many things that you actually haven't used for more than 6 months? Or some things that you have kept away for a long time. They call them what? White elephants. You know, you buy certain things but you don't use it. Why? Because many Singaporeans actually have much more. I'm not saying we don't have poor in our society. I think every society will have some people who are poor. But perhaps today God is speaking to us about our giving. It's not only money. I think for many of us, money may not be the real issue. I believe the Lord wants to speak to us about giving in general, but giving in other areas, such as giving our time, giving our love, giving our work, giving our heart, giving our effort, our families, and our service. As you listen to this message, ask the Lord this question, Lord, what do you want me to give? What do you, Lord, want me to give? As we give, we need to ask, are we giving with our hearts? God wants every Christian, based on this passage here, and I'll highlight about 6 or 7 things. How do we have the heart of giving? Okay? God wants us to have the heart of giving. Because giving, true giving, all true giving is from the heart. All true giving is from the heart. How do we have this heart of giving? Let's look at the passage, all right? We'll go through 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. How do we develop a heart of giving? Number one, in verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. How do we have the heart of giving? Number one, by giving. By just giving. Giving. All right? By giving. The Apostle Paul here, I just explained the verse a bit, huh? Praises them for abounding. The word abounding means overflowing with. Overflowing with virtues such as faith. The word faith means belief. Utterance means the ability to teach others. In knowledge means they know a lot of things. In all diligence means they are willing to discharge every duty that Paul tells them. You know, when Paul said this, with your knowledge of the Corinthian church, do you think they are overabounding in faith, in diligence? Actually not. But what Paul was doing was, after he realized, after he wrote 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church began to spur to activity. And Paul was encouraging them that since you have begun doing all these things now, don't forget to give. Don't be so overcome with all the duty. Don't forget this vital area that has been instructed by the apostle to give. To give. Okay? So when Paul mentions the above, they are starting to grow. Paul wants them to do this of giving because it helps them to grow even more. Let's turn to John chapter 7, verse 17. I don't think it's inside there. John 7, 17. John chapter 7, verse 17. And what are the principles of spiritual growth? In modern day Singapore, we oftentimes want to understand something before we do. And that is legitimate. That is a good thing. But you know, when it comes to spiritual things, sometimes it's the obedience that will help us to know. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 7 and verse 17. Okay, John chapter 7 and verse 17. Ready? Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Jesus challenged the Jews and says, why don't you just obey? And then you will find out the reality of the truth that you have been grappling with. Now, sometimes people are, why should I get baptized? Why should I attend church? You know what? Do it. And then you realize why. Because God infuses knowledge in our obedience. You will never understand something until you really do it. Okay? And so here, Paul wanted them to give. Because we develop a heart for giving by giving. Alright, so that's the first point. How do we have the heart of giving? By giving, number one. Number two, let's look at verse 8. Paul says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. I want us to be careful of this verse. Careful means be mindful. Many times Paul will use this word, I speak not by commandment. So, to some people's mind is, okay, so this is something I can choose to obey or not obey, right? Because Paul says, I don't speak this to command you. But I want us to listen to this. Some choose to look into the Bible and then say, Paul does not insist on this, but he is only giving a suggestion. In the context of what the Corinthian church is doing, Paul is encouraging them to ensure that they go ahead and do what is right. And the right thing they need to do is to give to the poor. The Corinthian church was not doing it. And Paul is saying, I'm not speaking this by commandment. When he said that, he's not saying, well, you have a choice to do it or not. He's not saying that. He's saying, I'm using a different tone. I don't want to enforce my apostolic authority. I'm not using this as a commandment. But you know what is right to do. It is like a teacher. Okay, let's say some people in school ask, if your teacher say, could you please kindly do your homework? How many of you think you have a choice of whether or not you do your homework? Your teacher comes in and says, could you please kindly do your homework and hand it out tomorrow? If your teacher speak to you nicely like that, do you actually have a choice of whether you do your homework or not? Actually not. The teacher is actually just being kind. Rather than, I know a teacher last time, my maths teacher will say, you better do your homework. That one we know, we should do. But sometimes teachers like to be kind, you know, try to connect with students. Students, can you please kindly do your homework? The tone is kind, but the instruction is still clear. Does it make sense? Paul uses that. Okay? And so when we look at the scriptures, we need to be careful that we have to understand the context, okay? So in this situation, the point that Paul wanted to us to learn, I speak not by commandment, by occasion of the fullness of others. How do we develop the heart of giving? In verse number 8, the first part, by learning from others. Paul says, I'm not speaking to you by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. Paul is using the example of the Macedonian church, the forwardness of the Macedonian church, using that as an example to encourage the Corinthian church to give. Does that make sense? How do we develop the heart of giving? Sometimes it's good to just look at how others give. I'm not saying go in kepo, how much you give. I'm not saying that. Alright? It may not be just in money. It may be in time. It may be in service. You know, we need to look at godly examples and follow what they do. We need to learn from others. Paul is saying, I'm encouraging you with a tone not to force you, but in view of the generosity of the Macedonian church, I would like you to fulfill your duty of giving. That's what Paul is driving home. Look to those who are giving from their hearts in their service and in their time and in their worship to the Lord. Learn from these examples of giving. Sometimes in our mind we always say, but the other person don't do it, what? Don't learn from negative examples, learn from positive examples. And that's what Paul was trying to get the Corinthian church to focus on. There was a man who was a philanthropist. What's a philanthropist? Philanthropist is someone who always gives to charity, all right? Supports charity. He was born in 1839. He was an American. He was a founder of Standard Oil Company, which dominated the oil industry and was the first great U.S. business, okay? This particular person revolutionized the petroleum industry and also defined what it means to give it to charity, all right? In 1870, he founded the Standard Oil Company and ran it until he retired in 1897. This particular man also had another company in partnership with his brother. The brother was a silent partner, okay? This particular branch actually dealt with kerosene and gasoline and also grew in importance. This particular man's wealth soared and he became the world's became the richest man in America, with first American worth more than $1 billion, and this is in the 1800s. Alright, so he's very, very rich. This particular man, in 40 years of his retirement, spent his fortune mainly to develop how to actually help. He had foundations who pioneered medical research. In the medical research, he was instrumental in eradicating hookworm and yellow fever, okay, that was quite prevalent in the U.S. This person was also the founder of both the University of Chicago and funded another establishment in the Central Philippines. He actually funded the establishment of the Central Philippines University in the Philippines. All right, you know who he is? No. Okay. He was a devoted Baptist and supported many church-based institutions. This man adhered to total abstinence from alcohol and tobacco all his life, cigarettes all his life. His name is J.D. Rockefeller. You and I also don't know him. But when I read this, interesting. This is what he said in his giving. I would never be able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I have not tithe my first salary, which is $1.50 a week. His giving started small, and God made him as he grew. We need to learn from examples. Not the idea is we give up, God is going to give me millions of dollars. But the heart of giving. You know, as he gave what he knew he had to give to God, God blessed him. And you know, in turn, he blessed others too. We need to learn from people who give. Maybe not just financially, but also in their service. That's what Paul was trying to drive home to the Corinthian church. But notice third principle. Okay, third principle. How do we develop the heart of giving? By learning from others. In verse 8b, by also realizing Giving is the proof of the sincerity of our love. 8b. Verse number 8, the last part. I speak not by commandment for you to give, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, examples of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Giving, we need to realize, is proof of the sincerity of our love. Did you know that? Oh, when we give, it's proving the sincerity. That's what Paul is telling the Corinthian church. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Not John 3:16, 1 John 3:16. Okay? And I want us to look at this passage a little bit as we reinforce Paul's point, realizing that giving is a proof of our sincerity of love. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby, in other words, this is how, hereby perceive we, this is how we understand the love of God. This is how we grasp and experience intellectually and also heart-wise the love of God. Because He laid down His life for us. Because He laid down His life for us. In this verse, we understand the love of God. Because when God loved us, He gave His Son. Right? He gave His Son. He expressly gave up His life for us. When we realize this awesome truth, that when God loved us so much, He actually gave His only Son, His life, to save us from sin. He gave. The love equals to give the best for us. When we understand this, notice the second part of verse 16, we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. When we realize that God did so much for us, and Lord, if you've done that for us, God, it really touched my heart. I need to do the same too. That is the essence of what the Apostle John was trying to teach the people during that time, who believe in a selfish type of love. It's I, me, and myself. Since I trusted Christ, I can live the way I want to live. John says no. When you understand how much Jesus has loved you, and you know, you perceive, you understand, we ought to lay down our lives also for our brethren in the same way. Okay? So that is what he's saying there. So, in practical terms, look at verse 17. John goes on to say, but whosoever has this world's good, in other words, you have the material things of this world, and then see your brother have need, and then shut up your bowels of compassion from him. How dwells the love of God in you? You know, you've already known, you perceive that God loved us so much, He gave His life for you, and the teaching is as a result of that experience, you need to actually care for someone else. In verse 17, John says, look, if you see someone in need, but you don't do anything, how can you say you have God's love? It's inconsistent. Does that make sense? And so, you know, for us, it may not be giving things to people. It could be someone who has a need, maybe spiritual need. Maybe the person is, something happened in the family and they really need someone to be around. Or maybe they have other needs, you know, that they are so stretched, they need help. And the brother has need. Where does God's compassion dwell in us if we don't do anything for that someone else? We need to realize giving is also a proof of our sincerity, of our love for God. And by the way, if you love God, you love your brethren. You will. Because God's love cannot... God's love doesn't choose. The Bible says God loves the entire world. And so must we. Giving proves the sincerity of our love. Your giving proves your love to Christ, and your giving will prove your love for your brethren. And sometimes giving is hard, but it proves the sincerity of your love. That's what Paul is teaching. Point number 4. How do we have a heart of giving? Look at verse number 9. We have the heart of giving by learning from the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich... How rich was the Lord? I mean, He's the creator of heaven and earth. Everything you wear, everything you have on you and in you belongs to Him. Everything you have belongs to Christ. And Christ is rich. But the Bible said, though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Let me just explain this in another way. You all know how the attitude of the Lord Jesus was, that His love and His grace was so great for us, that there was nothing that He would not be willing to give up for us. He was rich. He was willing to give up His riches. For our sakes, He became poor. How poor did Jesus become? I heard a message one time, why should we follow Jesus? This author was, you know how poor Jesus was? When He came into this world, He was born in another man's stable. He slept in another man's manger. He didn't even have a place to lay His head. And He made all things. He had to travel across the Sea of Galilee in another man's boat. And He was buried in another man's tomb. Everything was, in Chinese it says, 四海为家, you know, everywhere He lived is where He lived. He doesn't even have a proper place to sleep. That's our Savior. But you know why He lived the life? For us, we need to understand, well, Jesus became so poor, He's so spiritual, therefore if I'm very poor, I'm very spiritual. That's not it. That's not the lesson. But the lesson is Jesus was so rich, gave up all that He had so that we can be rich again. Spiritually rich. Some of us may think, Brother Johnny, you're not very rich. You know what? Yes, you are. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians chapter 1. Literally, everything that God has belongs to us. Did you know that? Everything that God has belongs to us. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And we understand that humbly because, you know, you and I, we only deserve one thing. We deserve to go to hell, to burn forever because of our sin. But Jesus loved us so much that He was willing to say, not only am I willing to love you, I give up everything for you. That's what Paul is driving back here. There was nothing that Jesus would not be willing to give up for us. The Lord Jesus, that even though He had everything, He gave up everything so that we can be made rich. And through the poverty of Christ, listen to this, we need never be poor again. Did you know that? Doesn't mean that, well, Brother Johnny, my bank account is not very good. Not talking about bank accounts. Do you realize when Jesus Christ gave up His all for us, He rose again, we will never be poor again. We will always be filled with the goodness of God. We will always be filled with the goodness of God. This world may treat us like dirt, but God treats us as the child of God because we are the child of God. How to have the heart of love, of giving, the heart of giving? By the example of Christ. Jesus gave up all that we might have. And it is important. The Corinthian church had to understand their brethren in Jerusalem were suffering. They didn't have need. The Corinthian church had, and Paul uses the example of Christ to teach them. For us, I believe very much sometimes we can have men as an example. We need Christ to be an example. Matthew 20:28, the Bible says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. Now this is powerful. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is ministered to by the seraphims and of heaven. Every angel is at His command. But the Bible says Jesus came not for people to serve Him, but to serve. Not just to serve, He to give His life a ransom for many. The willingness to give is always an evidence of love and also an example of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul actually recorded this in Acts 20:35. Paul says, Jesus taught him it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, this world always wants to receive. That's the human nature. I just want to take for myself. If we are genuine Christian, we will want to give. And you know, I think I shared it before, may Ambassador Baptist Church be a giving church. Because the more we give in our heart, in our service to the Lord and to one another and to the lost, it represents the grace of God moving in our lives to give to this world what He gave us in the first place. Your money, your bank account, your families, you realize all this belongs to God. Let's learn by the example of Christ to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. The heart of giving follows the example of Christ's giving, which is sacrificial. We must be willing to give, right? The next point, look at verse 10 and 11. How to have the heart of giving? By giving, by learning from others, by realizing giving is proof of the sincerity of our love for our Christ and our brethren. By the example of Christ, in verse 10 and 11, we need to have a heart of giving by following through with our past decisions. Look at verse 10 and 11. Herein I give my advice. Paul, after giving the example of Christ, wanting to prove the sincerity of love, says this. I'm going to give you my counsel. That's what Paul says. This is necessary for you, expedient for you. Because who had begun before, not only to do, but also to be fought a year ago. Now what's he talking about? Paul is saying, look, I'm giving you my advice. And this is important to you because you actually decided 1 year ago. You've already decided 1 year ago. And not only was there a decision 1 year ago, you were willing 1 year ago. In other words, you made a decision 1 year ago to already give. And you were very willing to give. Verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. You know how we make decisions and how we... Sometimes after we decide, we say, "Aiya, I shouldn't have made a decision." How many of you are in that category? Sometimes we do that, don't we? We decide then, actually, I didn't foresee that. No, especially when we buy things. I think it's in NTUC or these people. Sorry, in Courts. You buy something, right? You can return, no questions asked, right? Is that true? Or whatever. You know why that caters? If I know there's no risk, so I'm more willing to buy. That's not with God. When we promise God certain things, God is not, how would we call it? God is not being petty. God knows man by nature is selfish and self-centered. When God gave us certain instruction of which how we need to perform our promise, let's say if we promise to do God, something, God wants us to keep that, not because He is just being a hard taskmaster. He knows that we need to learn to be faithful to our words. Does it make sense? Because in order to develop the heart of giving, we need to let our yea be yea and our nay nay. And that's important for our own spiritual growth. That's why Paul said it is expedient for you, Corinthian church. You are just growing. You are just having repentance about love and loving your brethren. Now I want you to do this because it is necessary for your spiritual growth. Be consistent with the doing of it. Since you have already a desire to decide, then do it. Is there someone here that you have committed to the Lord something, but you have not done it? Or maybe you have changed your mind. Or maybe you have kind of cut down a little bit here and there. God, you know, I know I promise it, but you know. Have you done that? You know what God says? And I believe the tone that Paul has is one of encouragement. If you have promised that, do it. And Paul wants to encourage us, if you have promised God certain things, go ahead and do it. Yes, the time you were desiring something change in between, go back to the decision again. Go back to the heart of giving again. Give. Okay? God wants us to fulfill that. The heart of giving will follow through with our past decisions. Okay. Next point in verse 12. Realize how we have a heart of giving. We need to realize the heart of giving is the heart. The heart of giving is the heart. Okay, this is a very simple thing, but you know, Paul actually makes it clear in verse 12. For if there be a first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. In other words, God is not going to hold us to ransom. Let's say, God, I'm going to give you $500, and then 1 year later you find that something happened, there's recession, retrenchment, and you find that you can't, but you still want to give. God said, no, $500 means $500. That's not what Paul is saying. Look, it is accepted based on your willing mind. Whatever you have, you're willing to give. It is, you will be accepted based on what you give, what you have, and not based on what you have not. God is fair. Did you realize why God asked the Old Testament Jews to give a tithe? Because if you earn $10,000, a tithe of 10% is $1,000. If you earn $10, a tithe of $10 is $1. So God is saying, God understands our situation. And in this situation, Paul says, look, it's not about how much you give, it's about where your heart is when you give. Listen to this. He who gives what he would readily throw away, gives without generosity. For the essence of giving and generosity is in self-sacrifice. I say again, he who gives what he would readily throw away gives without generosity. For the essence of generosity and giving is in self-sacrifice. In other words, I need it, or my brethren need it, I give it to you. When I was a teenager, this particular event stuck in my mind. I was about sec 2, and we went to Rasa Sentosa. How many of you remember Rasa Sentosa? Last time when you only take cable car and ferry across. Now you can cycle, you can, I don't know, can you swim across to Sentosa? No, right? You can take bus, you can take whatever now. So, it was a church one, I still remember, and those who know Stanley, I still remember we were there and having dinner. So I didn't buy anything because I didn't have much money. And this particular brethren actually shared his food with me. As a teenager, that impressed me a lot. For a worker to, you know, share. I'm sure he is also hungry because we had a long day. It's not so much, it's not how much he said, yeah, come here, give me half, give me the whole thing. No. He gave what he could. You know, that's what God just asks us to give what we have. He doesn't ask us to give what we don't have. Right? And God has given us much. Realize the heart of giving is in our heart. How much are we willing to sacrifice? The last point. Look at verse 13 and 15. How do we develop the heart of giving? We need to realize as we give, it will be given to us in our need. When we learn to give to others in their need, God ensures it will be given to you and me in our need. Look at verse 13. Paul says, "For I mean not that other men be relaxed or eased and ye burden." I'm not putting this burden on you only. That's what Paul says. I'm not saying that other people can relax from this. He said, "I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened." Verse 14. "But by equality," that means to be fair, to be same, "that now at this time your abundance, what you have, may be a supply for their want." The Jerusalem brethren were in need. And so the abundance of the Corinthian church says, I can meet the needs of my brethren because they are in want. And then vice versa, and others are in want, the Corinthian, and their abundance may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Do you understand what Paul is saying here? That right now that you have abundance, the brethren is in need, you give. But there are times that when you are in need, your brethren's abundance will turn back on you again. So there will be equality. In other words, there will be mutual care for one another. And I'm thankful in Ambassador, we do that all the time. That some of the brethren is in need, we try to reach out. You know, other people in need, other times they try to give back. And that's what Christian community living is all about. Whereby we give, looking at the needs of our brethren, we give, whether it's time, whether it's service, whether it's anything, financial even, that we can help a brethren. And if that brethren is in need, we can help. And then if we are in need, the brethren will help us back. That's what Paul is referring to. And then in verse 15, Paul puts this Bible principle when we practice this. As it is written, this is what God says, he that had gathered much had nothing left over. In other words, if God gave us a lot, and our heart is to give to our brethren, we'll always be giving to other people. We have not much left over. But, and he that gathered little had no lack. In other words, if I don't have much, I also have all that I need, because God, through his gracious provision, provides for me as well. We need to realize, to develop a heart of giving, that when you give to others, God will give back to you, to support you and to help you. In the 17th century, I'll give you a few examples to nail this home. There was a German preacher, his name is Frankl. Okay, he has an orphanage to care for homeless children. One day, this Frankl was desperately in need of funds to carry on his work. He was a German preacher. There was a Christian widow who came to his door begging for a gold coin. And this particular German preacher said, "Look, I can't do that because, you know, I've got to take care of these orphans, and I'm sorry, I can't help you." The woman began to cry, and Frankl actually then told her, "Look, you wait here, I'll pray and ask God for wisdom." And then he went in. The Holy Spirit wanted him to change his mind. And he came back and said, "Look, you take this gold coin, I'll just learn to trust God." Two mornings later, he received a letter of thanks from the widow. She explained that because of his generosity, she has asked the Lord to shower the orphanage with gifts. The same day, Franco received 12 gold coins from a wealthy lady and two more from a friend in Sweden. And then he thought that, well, God has really blessed him. And soon he was informed he was to receive 500 gold pieces from the estate of the prince. When Franco realized that, he wept in gratitude, realizing, I only had one gold coin. When I gave it to me, the king of the universe saw that and rewarded him for his work. Remember one thing, when you give away, there was a need in the orphanage. But you know what? Franco has learned to trust God, because God was in charge of their need. When we give away what we have, remember, sometimes we keep for ourselves. God wants us to learn to give it away to someone who is in need. And God will always supply our needs, because that's what He promised. When we give in response to the Lord's prompting, the Lord always returns many times over. Always. There was a preacher years ago who was trusting the Lord to provide for his family. A love offering came at the end of the service for him, and he thanked the Lord for it. At first, only to be impressed by the Lord that he would give it away, that he should give it away. With a struggle in this preacher's heart, he obeyed the Lord and went home that night. The next day, another preacher called him to tell him that another church had decided to take him on for support for the next 2 years, which will be equivalent to 8 times the amount he gave away. There was another believer from Philadelphia who was on us. How could he give so much to the Lord's work and still have such great wealth? You know what this captain said? Well, as I shovel it out to other people, God shovels it in. And God has a bigger shovel than me. You know, there's an encouraging way. Our God will always meet our needs, Christian. You don't have to worry about that. Because the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, my God shall supply all your needs. Whether financially, whether emotionally, whether spiritually. If God can give His own Son to meet our spiritual need and save us from hell, He's not going to watch and say, okay, I've done my part already, you all carry on. No! He cares for us as a loving Heavenly Father. Even the hairs on your head are numbered. I like this. You know, on FBI, those who, you know, God says that the very hairs of our head are numbered. And Pastor Johnny has brought out a point. Do you realize the hairs on our head change in number every day? And God knows every hair that you have. When you take a shower, it's all in the it changes. God knows every. God knows the name of every star in the universe. And how many stars are there in the universe? God, the Bible says, God calls the stars by name. Don't you think He will care for us? You know, to have a heart of giving, we need to realize the God who is the master giver, our Savior, encourages us to have the heart of giving. By the way, you will never be shortchanged by God. When you see a brother in need, and even though you're empty here, your bank account is full in heaven. And God oftentimes blesses those who give. And God promised that blessing. As we reflect, there's two questions. What is the Lord asking us to give to Him today? Some of you maybe, yeah, God's asking me to give money. I've been pretty stingy, I don't know. Maybe it's, oh Lord, I need to give You more time in prayer. Or I need to give You more time, Lord, in my Bible reading. I need to give You more time in my heart to love someone that I need to love. Or Lord, I need to give You more effort. What is the Lord asking us to give Him today? And am I willing to give my best in the area that God has asked us to give? Am I willing to give my best? If God says, okay, this is the area I want you to give, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, whether it's social or whatever, or maybe just being a friend to someone else. Because we've been so tight with our own time for ourselves, but God says, no, I want to give you some of your time to that person. Are we willing to give? And are we willing to do our best? Remember, God only takes from us what we have. That's all He asks. I'll give you one final illustration before I close. There was this particular preacher who was on his journey to a particular place, okay? Within a few days, this is in America again, and he had this supply of food, all right? He had flour, he had some rice, he had some bacon, okay? But But along the way, he was actually robbed by Indians. He was on his way to a destination. He brought on his supplies and he went on his way to that particular destination. Along the way, he was robbed by these thieves and these robbers along the way who took his food basically, like his bacon, his rice and his flour. The weight of the baggage for this particular preacher, you know, his comment on his apparent misfortune was this: the weight of our baggage being so much lightened, our next day's journey was quicker. I was on my way to this particular place. I was carrying this bacon and this food and this rice for myself. I was robbed. After being robbed, I actually could move faster and reach my destination faster. Because all these things that I was carrying for myself was the burden slowing me in my journey towards spirituality. And he said, it would have been interesting if he would have hid himself in a hole somewhere and just ate his bacon himself. And he would just stay where he is and perished without reaching his spiritual maturity. Christians, as you grow in your spiritual life, what are you holding on? And God is asking you, would you let me have that? We need to have a heart of giving. Sometimes it's in the form of helping someone, that when you give your heart to someone, spiritually, not in a boy-girl relationship, before you're ready, when you give your heart of love and care to someone else, God multiplies that many times over. Our loss becomes that person's gain, but later on, it becomes our gain again, because in heaven, God is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What is God asking us to give? What is holding us back in our journey towards genuine Christian growth? If you are here today, you're not a Christian. Jesus has already given all to save you. You don't have to do anything. He's already given his life to pay for our sins so that when we would receive his grace and his love, we can go to heaven, have our sins forgiven. Christians, what is the Lord asking you to give? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that we can just have a simple understanding of your passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. How, Lord, that you want us to have a heart of giving. How, Lord, that by the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the example of the Macedonian church, by the realizing, Father, that you just want us to give, to learn, to practice giving. Father, in a self-centered society like Singapore, many times people give because they will get something in return. And many corporations or many places will do that, that if you would give, we will put your name or something, Lord, to give recognition. But Lord, that is not the giving in the Bible. And we realize that when you gave, Lord, you gave sacrificially without asking for anything in return. For thy word teaches us clearly, Luke 6:35, love your enemies and do good and lend, and asking for nothing again, that your reward may be in heaven. Because, Lord, you give even to the unthankful and to the evil. Lord, I pray for every Christian here who have heard this message, that they will contemplate, Lord, of all the things that you have given to them, what have they given back to you? With your eyes closed, heads bowed, has the Lord spoken to you? Is there something that God has pinpointed and said, Brother Johnny, pray for me. There's one area that God says I need to give. And I want to give to him, but I need strength. Is there anyone who said, Brother Johnny, pray for me, that God will give me the strength to give it back to him? Is there anyone? Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see that hand too. Amen, I see that hand too. It could be anything. Maybe money, maybe other things. But if God has spoken in your heart, just commit that part to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me to give my best in this area. Is there anyone else? Let's pray. Father, I pray for these Christians who you have touched in their hearts to give back to you, Lord, what you're asking them to. Lord, I'm asking you to strengthen their resolve to follow the God who loves them so much. Lord, your grace has been so evident, and that, Father, through your mercies, Lord, You have made us willing in our hearts. We pray your Holy Spirit will continue to give grace and strength to these our brethren who have made these decisions in their heart. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I pray, Father, even for those who are struggling, I pray for you, Lord, to get a grip of their hearts. They might know, Lord, they're not just giving to anyone. They're giving to the King of Kings who loves us. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do as we close with a closing hymn. We pray, Lord, even this hymn will impress in our hearts to give. We thank you in Jesus' name.